yourself without the phone ringing and text messages coming. And that can either be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. When you're on your way to do good and you have a moment to be alone, sometimes your mind will wander to certain things. And I found myself on a daily basis during that drive up, never on the way back, but always on the way up, questioning certain things and questioning certain circumstances. And, you know, being musically inclined to play, not sing, praise the Lord. The hymn that kept coming to my mind was "By and By."
All right.
When the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story of how we overcome. But it's that last piece that ties it all together, and we'll understand it better by and by. Meaning that I may not get it now, but I have to have the mindset that when the morning comes, amen, it'll all make some sense to me. 1 Timothy 2 and 8, I just want to go back over that. Can we be different today? Can we just stand for a moment together? 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8 says, "First of all then, I urge that my petitions or specific requests and prayers, intercessions and prayers for others and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all people, not some that we feel are worthy." Amen, somebody. Amen. "On behalf of all people, for kings and all who are in positions of high authority, so that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This kind of praying is good and acceptable and pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who wishes all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge and recognition of the divine truth. For there is only one God and only one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom, a substitutionary sacrifice to atone for all the testimony given at the right and proper time. And for this matter, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, and I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying when I say a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Therefore," somebody say therefore.
Therefore,
"therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger and disputing or quarreling or doubt in their mind." Amen.
Amen.
We pray that the Lord is going to add a blessing just by reading that thing. Amen. Be seated if you will. Eternal God, our Father, Lord, I thank you for an opportunity to stand yet in John's shoes. Just thank you, God, for an opportunity to just break the bread of life with these thy people. God, it is my prayer that you will use me to reach those that are dying, to use me to give a word from on high. Move me out the way that nobody can see Pastor Tim, but they can only see you, God, that you may be glorified, your word edified, and the people of this valley just increased, and the kingdom built, and the devil and demons in hell horrified as we break the bread of life, as we tell the true story that the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Use me, God, like you better use me before I ask it and I claim it, already done. We're lifting verse 8. "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting." This is 1 Timothy. And as always, I try to give you just a little bit of background before we just read the Bible and don't tell you anything about what we're reading. Amen.
Yeah.
The early traditions and salutations of the pastoral letters that would be 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, they attribute themselves to the author of those passages of Scripture being Paul. Amen.
Amen.
And this particular passage was written during his 4th missionary journey. Paul had instructed Timothy to care for the church at Ephesus while he went on to Macedonia. And it was at this time during his mission that he realized that he may not return to Ephesus in the near future. So he wrote this letter to Timothy in the hopes to charge and encourage the charge that he had given his young assistant, and that was to refute false teachings, to supervise the affairs of the growing church, to deal with their worship, to deal with the appointment of qualified church leaders, but most importantly, to deal with prayer. And I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and I asked him, I said, "Do you find it easy to pray?" And his answer was, "Sure, as long as I don't have to say anything." And you know, it sounds silly, but we consider how many people seldom pray in public, right?
Amen.
We bow our heads during worship, and some of us are even kind enough to try and stay focused on what the person is actually saying during corporate prayer. But if you ask many Christians to stand up and pray openly and audibly, they immediately shirk or shy away from that task, and their reasons vary. I get nervous. I don't know why. I don't sound as good as Deacon Mills. I don't sound as good as the seasoned saints. I'm embarrassed. I don't feel that I'm dressed well enough. And the truth of the matter is, when we don't want to do something, any excuse will do. Am I right? And somehow and somewhere, we have gotten the idea that prayer is a competition.
All right.
Come on now. I'm going to talk real to you, because you know, we're just going to leave an anointing on this place, and we're going to move on forward. But today we're talking about answered prayer, keys to answered prayer. And somehow we have the idea that prayer is a competition. And I blame social media for that.
Yeah.
I blame YouTube for that. And I blame improper training for that. Because anybody can go to christianbooks.com. Yes, I said it. Anybody want to watch online and report back, you know my email and my phone number is 484-892-9105. You can send me a text message. You can go to christianbooks.com and buy yourself a collar. Anybody can get one. Amen. You just have to know the right size. Even if it's the wrong size, send it back. They'll send you another one. Anybody can get a collar and put one on and trump around and say, "I'm so-and-so and such-and-such," with no training. And my motto for 19 is, show me your papers. Come on, somebody. Show me your papers. Who did you sit under? What time did you take? What kind of prayers did you pray? How is the Lord speaking to you? Who called you? Who appointed you? Who taught you and set you apart and then put you out into ministry? And see, we watch people and we try to mimic them and we try to do what they're doing and say what they're saying, and we don't have a word ourselves. And so when we get up to pray, we think it's a competition. And Paul knew that's what Timothy was dealing with. And Paul gave Timothy, now Timothy was part Greek and Jewish, he gave him clear instructions on the requirements for his new congregation. And the instructions vary, but I want to focus on one thing here. According to Paul, in this passage of Scripture, there are three keys to answer prayer. And the first one, Paul said, is pray everywhere. Come on, somebody, everywhere. In 2012, you know I'm a reader, researchers at the University of Nebraska, they asked 815 college students, what is your greatest fear? And you would think it would be heights, you would think it would be flying in deep water, death. But most of them, 99% of them said, my greatest fear is speaking in front of a group of large people. So I say, if public speaking is a general population's issue, then I would think praying publicly is a Christian's issue.
Yeah.
And are you following me?
Yeah.
It's not easy to speak before people, see, because you all are sitting there looking at me, but I'm looking at everything. I see when you don't agree with something that I've said. I see when you don't understand something that I've said. I see when you don't care about something that I've said. I see when you are bored. I see when you send text messages. I see when you check your email. I see when you're updating your your profile picture. I see selfies in the foyer. I see side conversations by the bathroom. And worst of all, I watch y'all sometimes go to sleep. Come on. So I would think that, you know, if we take this back several thousand years, that it would be the same fears in ancient times without social media and cell phones.
All right.
Timothy's congregation had to understand that public prayer was not an option. And Restoration Temple needs to understand that public prayer is not an option.
All
right. Is somebody with me? The Bible says all men pray. It doesn't say should pray or may pray. The Bible says that all men pray everywhere. Paul said the same thing to the church at Thessalonica. He said, pray without ceasing.
Yes, sir.
And that means that we should always be in a prayerful state of communion with God. Now, that's a high ideal, but it's still a reasonable one. Amen?
Amen.
Especially when the directive is coming from God and we are compelled by His Spirit, we should want to pray.
Yes, sir.
But Paul's, Paul's everywhere to the church at Ephesus was a bit different. He was zeroing in on a specific problem, the hesitation of the congregation for public prayer.
Yeah.
So be clear. Let's be clear. Everywhere means just that.
Everywhere.
Are you with me? Y'all may as well talk to me just a little bit. Pray everywhere. Everywhere means everywhere. It means just that. It means in public and in private. Come on, somebody. You ought to be able to pray the same way in public that you do in private. Y'all aren't with me. Y'all want me to hoop and pop, holler at you. It says in public and in private, in our homes and in the church. Come on, somebody. In our cars and in at work, in our coming, in our going, in school or on the playground, in good times or bad, in feast or famine. The Bible says pray everywhere. Can I get a witness? Somebody. In a fancy restaurant or McDonald's, you ought to give God thanks for that food you're about to receive. I'm always amazed at a reaction that I get when we are in public somewhere and we go and we gather hands and we pray over our food before we eat it. I'm always amazed because there's always someone that has to come over and just acknowledge that we did it. Like we were brave enough to do it. Like we should have an award for doing what the Bible says. The Bible says pray everywhere. If I had prayed a little harder at Olive Garden, maybe I wouldn't have gotten the food poisoning that I got from their dirty kitchen. Amen, somebody. Amen. There's no place on earth that we shouldn't pray. Whether it's a private corner or out loud in a public place. Because in every instance, we're exactly the same distance from God.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
No matter where it is, every instance, we're equally as close to the throne of grace.
Yes.
Why are we afraid to pray in public? What is it that we're afraid of? It isn't that we won't receive God's approval. It's because we fear what man may say.
Yes.
Why he up there praying? What's she doing up there praying? How's she going to pray? The same way you pray. Because the same dirty God is just as dirty as the person praying. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I know we've read and seen that they're arguing down south about taking Stonewall Jackson's statues down and so forth. But there is a story about Stonewall Jackson. His pastor asked him to pray. He was reluctant, but he finally did it, and he spittered and sputtered over his first public prayer, stumbling over his words and agonizing, and everybody was looking and cringing at his emotional pain. And weeks went by, and the pastor didn't ask him to pray again. So he went to the pastor, and he said, this is a quote, "It doesn't matter how uncomfortable it makes me feel. If it is my duty to pray, then I must pray." And that's the attitude that we have to have. Eventually, he gained confidence in choice words, although he never received that spirit of eloquence where he could just come up and just utter out a prayer. Did you hear the family prayer? How the man of God stood here and the Spirit just took over with an eloquence that just moved through this place. Not everybody has that ability to do that, but that doesn't mean that it's still not your duty to pray. Amen. God hears your heart. Amen. It's us that focus on the words, but God hears your heart. And he said, let every man pray everywhere. I think that Peter, he didn't offer eloquent prayer. When the sea was storming and everybody was afraid,
yes, sir,
and they thought that they were going to die, he didn't say, well, let's gather the praise team to set the atmosphere. He didn't say, well, we got to get the lights right. Maybe we should have a praise dance first. Maybe I got to put on a robe. He didn't go through all that. He went up and he said, Lord, save me. There wasn't any time for being eloquent. There wasn't any time for setting an atmosphere. See, when the disciples asked Jesus to pray, that was when he could have given very specific instructions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He could have said, well, you have to have the right pitch.
Right.
You have to have the right intonation. You have to make sure that the atmosphere has already been set so that I feel I can come and listen to what you have to say. If those were very important things, he would have said it when the question was answered. Instead, he said, well, just say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give up. Some churches, I believe, are sinking fast because we simply refuse to pray.
Yeah.
Let the pastor do it. He want it.
Yeah.
Right? Come on, somebody.
All right.
Second thing that Paul says in this passage of scripture is to pray without wrath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wrath isn't just anger. It's an anger with malicious motives.
Yes.
Ephesians 4:26 says you can be angry and not sin.
Yeah.
So we've been given permission to be righteously angry over things that are contrary to God's will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
When someone does you wrong, you have the right to be upset.
Yeah.
When you've been treated unfairly, right?
Yeah.
When the Democratic Committee in Allentown decides to do their own thing, you have the right to be angry about that. Come on, somebody. And you ought to speak your mind about those things. Come on, y'all. Y'all are quiet. We've been given permission to be righteously angry over things that are contrary to the will of God. But we've not been given permission to use anger for sinful motives. Okay. Jesus was angry when he went into the temple and he turned the tables over.
Yeah.
Amen. But he didn't strike them dead.
That's right.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
But that was justice.
Uh-huh.
He let them know this is unacceptable. Come on, somebody. I give you an example. I can be angry that Congress refuses to get together to impeach 45. I can be upset about that. I can focus on that thing. But that doesn't give me the right to go down to Washington and shoot up the White House. Come on. See, we can righteous anger finds a way to express itself devoid of sin. Did you catch that? Righteous anger. So if you're angry in a correct way, that you can find a way to express that without bringing sin. Come on, somebody. So why is Paul telling the church not to be angry when we pray? Well, one, that they were under government persecution because they had a new belief in Jesus. And there was disruption among the believers.
Yeah.
All right.
There were fractions of teachers in the church pushing a doctrine based on old covenant law, even though they had no knowledge of what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, so there was people in the church pushing a doctrine that they knew nothing about because they went to ChristianBooks.com and they got themselves a collar and no one sat them down. See, you have to understand that you've got to be submissive to authority. You've got to sit under somebody and you've got to not be afraid, one, to sit somebody down, and two, you have to understand that if someone sits you down, it's for a reason, amen, because your actions, your word can send somebody to hell.
Yes.
However, exercising wrath wouldn't help the situation at the church. What was needed was an exercise of grace and mercy,
yes,
and a little humility from those who took the time to remember their own former sins.
Yes.
Wow, we got quiet on that. That's all right. Praying for our enemies does not include a request for their annihilation.
All right, now.
But rather a request for them to come to know Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Now, however he deals with them, that's on him.
Amen.
Right? Right? Because he's just.
Yes.
Touch not. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Touch not. And do my no
more.
All right, if you do it, however the Lord responds, that is on you. If you want God to hear your prayers, there's a correct feeling that you have to have towards your fellow man.
Yeah.
If you're angry towards any man, if you're feeding on a dispute with your neighbor, or you have a long-standing feud with anyone, now don't jump. You're unfit to pray, and you're shutting yourself out of God's blessing. Now I'm gonna clean that up. Give me a second before you send me some hate mail. If you have a long-standing feud with anyone, you're unfit to pray. I'm preaching to me because I got a long-standing feud with one dude that works for me. A long-standing feud, and I keep wondering, why is the Lord not answering my prayer? And when I was putting my sermon together, I answered it. The Lord answered it while I was getting my thoughts together. It's because you're unfit to pray about that. First, you've got to pray and ask me to harden not your heart,
yes,
so you can pray right.
Amen.
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 Amen. So I'm gonna get this thing worked out because I have no more patience for it. So I ask the Lord, don't harden my heart. Let me have a prayer that I can get through that will make sense, rather than, Lord, you know all about it. See, we got to get our heart right first. We're not fit to pray until we get our heart right first and ask the Lord to work on us. You can pray, yes, but you have to pray in a right spirit, or your prayer will be hindered. Come on, we're called to live in charity or love with all mankind.
That's right.
Matthew 18:15 says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell them his fault between thee and him alone. You missed it. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against me, go and tell them his fault between thee and him alone. Him alone. Him alone. Somebody say alone.
Alone.
Him alone. If you have a problem with Pastor Tim, come to Pastor Tim and tell me what your problem is. Don't put your collar on that you got online. Dress yourself up and seek out folks in the church and say, your pastor said such and such. Come, the Bible says. But to respond to gossip, but the Bible says, go to him and him alone. Reconciliation is a requirement. Praying with wrath won't get your prayers answered.
Right.
Come on, somebody. The third point and final point, pray without doubting.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the hardest of all things for us to do in successful prayer. But listen, I have the right to expect God will answer my prayer if I pray in the right spirit.
Yeah.
I have a right to that thing. If my prayer is in the submission of my will to God's and not me trying to force my will on him, then I can be certain that God will answer. Let me tell you something. When I got in my car after my phone rang and said things didn't go as they were supposed to go, your daddy is now in open heart surgery. When I got in the car and I drove what seemed to be forever and forever and forever, and I got out and I walked through two parking lots, walked into the front door, went through the lobby, down a long hall, made a right, got on the D elevators, hit number two, up to the cardiovascular unit where they've got to buzz you in because only one person can be there at a time. And I said, I'm here for room number 20. And I walked down what seemed to be a hall that would never, ever end. And I kept walking and I kept walking and I just kept praying in public. I just kept praying. The nurse said, are you okay? I said, I'm fine. And I just kept praying until I got to the door. And when I got into the door and saw my daddy hooked up to a machine breathing for him and blood coming in one side and liquids and fluids coming out the other side, I prayed in the right spirit. But I said to myself, I've got a right to expect that God is going to answer my prayer. If I'm doubting that God is going to answer, it doesn't make sense to pray. Prayer's not giving God a list of your wants. Come on, somebody. Our role in prayer is to offer God a submissive heart that will accept his answer no matter what it is, whether it's yes, no, or wait a while. And when I got out, I prayed and I left. They said, you're leaving already? And I said, yes, I did what I came to do. I prayed, and I don't doubt. I have no doubt in my mind that the Lord will hear my prayer. Yeah. And I said to the nurse, however the Lord answers my prayer, I will be satisfied.
Amen.
Because I have no doubt in my mind, because I just asked my Father in heaven that his will be done for my Father on earth. So whatever the Lord responds and however he sees fit, I'm going to be satisfied with that thing. See, seasoned Christians, we know how to wait.
Yes.
Come on. We know how to wait on God. And we've learned through our experience that God is faithful to answer prayer in due time. We've learned to trust God's ability to deliver exactly what we need when we need it. See, when you've been walking in this long enough, you have to understand that sometimes, even though we ask God for something, we're not ready for his answer.
Amen.
So we have to wait a while, and we're wondering, where is God? Why has he not answered? He knows that you're not ready for the answer, so his answer is wait a while. And if you're seasoned and understand that God is sovereign, and he makes no mistakes, and he moves in his way and in his time, because he knows what you need, when you need it, and just how you need it to be. So we just have to learn to wait on him and understand that after a while, and by, when the morning comes, it's all going to work out in my favor. And if you learn to do that thing, Mother Gunn, you'll be a prayer warrior. Am I right about it? She has been a prayer warrior for 40 plus years, and that's not because she knows how to pray, it's because she knows how to wait on God. It's because she knows that she only has to tell him one time and then wait on him to answer. See, that's the key. We need to learn to pray without doubting, because when we pray with the understanding that God has all the answers. Come on, somebody. He has the answer for all of Earth's questions.
Yes.
He has the solution for all of Earth's problems. He has the comfort for any misery that the Earth can bring. And he has an answer. He has a healing for any sickness that can come on us now on this side. If you trust him and never doubt him. Come on, somebody. Y'all are quiet. Three keys to answered prayer. Pray everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
That's right.
Pray without anger.
That's right.
And pray without doubt.
That's right.
That's simple enough, isn't it?
Yes.
Pray everywhere.
All right now.
Don't be mad when you do it, and don't doubt that God won't answer you.
That's right.
If you pray wherever it is, anytime, anywhere, any place, without any anger and out and without any doubt, God will show up. The old saints used to sing a hymn, Have a Little Talk with Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on, are y'all too cute for that, aren't you? Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. He will hear your faintest cry. And what does it say to you? He'll answer by and by. It says that they'll feel that the plans are turning and a fire is burning. Make it all right. If that doesn't satisfy you, go to the Bible. John said, all-encompassing God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And I'm done. And it says, and if I know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we ask and he will. So that's it. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that doesn't lead to death, you ought to pray for them that God will give them life. Chronicles says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek thy face. Hear the supplications of your servant and your people and pray towards this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. The book of Ephesians says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. If that's not enough, go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah says that you call on me. Come and pray and I'll listen to you. Nothing. And the least I can do is